Everybody, you know, every so often in life you have all kinds of surprises, and some of them are positive and some of them are negative, some of them are extremely exciting. So, you know, this morning I consider it to be a very exciting surprise that Rebbetzin Pelkowitz decided to come and join us. And it's a great honor, and I know that you have a very high standard for what you accept to be So I thank you. I thank you very much. It means a lot to me. So thank you for being here. In honor of the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos, we will spend time this morning reminding ourselves of the exceptional and extraordinary experience that we have every time we engage in the study of Torah. And I don't know that so much here is going to be new to anybody. I just always feel that before Shavuos, before we renew our commitments to the Torah every year, I always find it important that we try and remind ourselves of sometimes the things that we take for granted and sometimes the parts of life that everybody assumes is a given. So we begin with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that La'achar Me'ev Esrim Shana, the Gemara says that Tchilas Dino Shal Adam Al Divrei Torah, the very first inquiry, the very first analysis that God will do on the lives that we lived, the very first question that He will look into with regard to the way we spent our time in this world is Al Divrei Torah, is about how we connected with Divrei Torah, is about how serious our commitment was to Divrei Torah. Now, what does that mean? I understand that Divrei Torah is very important, and I understand that learning Torah is very important. But really, is that the first question that God needs to be bothered by? Is that the first question that we all need to be challenged with when He comes to discuss with us all of the experiences of our life? So Rav Shachar has a very beautiful comment in his Sefer Avi Ezri. And that Sefer is really all of his commentary on the Rambam. And here he sticks in a very beautiful interpretation to what it means that God will make sure to ask us, Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Al Divrei Torah. Says Rav Shachar as follows, this is the first entry on the sheet. Lefi Masher Kasev HaRambam BeHalacha Gimel. Shem Mitzvahs Talmud Torah Shekula Keneged Kala Mitzvahs Kulan. Since we all know, we say it every morning in our davening, that the mitzvah of learning Torah is tantamount, it is equivalent to one who performs the entirety of Torah. Shehat Talmud Mevi Lidei Maisa. Why is that? Is that something magical? Why do we assume that learning Torah is equivalent to all the other mitzvahs? Why should it be equivalent? Explains Rav Shach, Shehat Talmud Mevi Lidei Maisa. Because by learning Torah, you will know how to act in life. By learning Torah, you will understand the guidebook of life. V'imkein, and if that is true, v'adai shebeli ha-talmud, if a person is inattentive, if a person is uneducated and ignorant from what the Torah values are and what the Torah rules and laws are, mizbatel hu meharbe maisa, it will be impossible for such a person to properly live through life the way God wants him or her to do so. And therefore, says Rav Shach, that's what it means, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Why is Torah considered an equal? Why is it equivalent to everything else? Because without Torah, you won't know how to observe anything else. Without Torah, you will not be able to perform any of the mitzvos, any of the commandments. You will not be able to live life the way God wants you to. Bahasiba masha'enu oseh. The only reason why some of us go through life and don't do the things that we are supposed to is mashallah lamad, says Rav Shach, it's because you didn't spend enough time educating yourself. So it's true, some of us didn't have the opportunity when we were younger to study as much as we may wanted to. And some of us didn't have an education that others were privileged to have. But that never means that a person is excused. It doesn't mean that a person doesn't have the opportunity when they have the chance now to study and to master and to learn as much as they possibly can. Va'al kein, and therefore he writes, Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Al Divrei Torah, the Gemara that says that the very first inquiry that God will do with us when He has the discussion about what happened throughout our lives is about Divrei Torah. Why? Shazehu hagorem haikari, because that is what precipitated everything else that happened in our lives. That is what was the cause for the response of the way we acted throughout life. Mashalo asa. Shayidei butil haTorah, because we did not commit ourselves enough to the Torah. Muchrachu lavar af al hachamura. Sometimes that may have led us to neglect and disregard some of the even very important mitzvahs in the Torah. Just take for an example. I don't know how many of us have studied Hilchos Shabbos in great detail and great depth, but if you don't study Hilchos Shabbos, it is impossible, says the Mishnah Berurah, for a person to go through an entire Shabbos without violating something. The laws of Shabbos are extremely complicated. They are very intricate. So it's true, many of us may not have had the opportunity as children to be able to study it in depth and in great detail and understand everything that we're supposed to do or not supposed to do on Shabbos. We understand that's correct. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, how can a person live an entire lifespan without studying the laws of Shabbos at least once? How is it feasible to imagine that a person would actually be able to observe Shabbos properly if they don't know what the rules of Shabbos are? And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah and so many others, it is our duty, it is our obligation to make sure that we educate ourselves as much as we possibly can. The very beginning of this week's Parsha, we know that this week in Chutz La'aretz we have a hyphenated Parsha. We have Bahar B'chukosai. And in the very beginning of B'chukosai, the Torah says, Im B'chukosai Telechu. If you will walk, if you will observe all of the chukim, all of the commandments, all of the laws that I have instructed you to keep, says Rashi. What does it mean, im b'chukosai telechu? Rashi says that's a command, shetihiyu amelim batorah, that we all have an obligation to work as hard as we can to have a understanding of Torah. And I believe Rashi's comment is not limited to men. I believe it's something that applies to men and women equally. People often think that women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In a way that it's true. Women don't have the same nature of obligation to study Torah as men do, but it is clear that women certainly have an obligation to know and understand, to the best of their ability, the mitzvahs that apply to them. There is no doubt that every woman has an obligation to know the laws of everything that applies to women, which is most of the Torah. And therefore, it is a misnomer when people say women have not really obligated in Talmud Torah. It might be true in theory, but in practice, until you have mastered all of those areas that you are obligated to abide by, you have not fulfilled your obligation, and you have to make sure to know it to the best of your ability. Shetihiyu amelim batorah, says Rashi, we all share that obligation to study Torah and understand it to the best of our ability. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, very famous Mishnah, im lamadata Torah harbe. If you have gone through life and you have studied a lot of Torah and you have mastered the art of what it means to have an intellectual connection to what the Torah is all about, al tachzik tova liatzmecha, says the Mishnah, do not pat yourself on the back and say, wow, what a wonderful person that I am, that I've spent my whole life dedicating myself to the study of Torah, says the Mishnah. You get nothing out of the ordinary for that. Ki lakach notzarta. Because that is your duty. Because that is your mission. I was thinking about it just in simple terms. You know, when a child is very young and he eats his dinner nicely, so we'll give him some sort of reward. When the child is 20 years old and he eats his dinner nicely, do we have to pat him on the back and explain to him that he did such a nice job? No. Why? Because this is part of life. This is what you're supposed to do as a human being. There are certain axioms that we all abide by, that we all follow, in order to have a productive day, to have a productive life. And we don't need to give credit to a person who just does the normal functions of life that we're all supposed to be doing. That, says the Mishnah, is the same. Im lamadato Torah harbe, and you say to yourself, look what I've done, I've dedicated myself, how lucky I am, and how wonderful it is, and I must be from the greats of the generation. Al tachzik tova liatzmecha. It's all nice, it's all wonderful, but lakach notzarta. This is why God created you. This is your responsibility. This is your goal. This is your mission. And therefore, this is what God wanted you to do, and you were just following the rules of what He expected of you. So, we have a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Tes, where the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Adam La'amel Yulad. Says the Gemara, we were all created to exert energy. We were all created to expend ourselves, and to be persistent, and to work hard throughout life. That's what life is all about, says the Gemara. And life was not made just to be pleasant and relaxed. As much as we like to be relaxed and as much as we enjoy that, obviously there's a time and place for everything, but our lives were given to us for us to work and to exert ourselves and to put ourselves forward and try to work hard to understand what it is that God wants of us. What does He expect of us? What is our mission? What is our purpose? And what perhaps is our duty? We have a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Chagiga, where the Gemara says that, I don't understand exactly what it means, but the Gemara tells us that we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying three tears every day. Every single day, says the Gemara, God cries three tears. And one of them, says the Gemara, is on a person who had the opportunity to learn Torah throughout life and chose not to. A lot of things to cry about in this world. But the Gemara says that one of the things that God spends time crying about every day is the opportunity that human beings had to study His Torah and to develop a greater appreciation for it, and they chose not to. So this is our mission, this is really our duty, and this is something that is a very important idea to remind ourselves of every so often, at least around the Yom Tov of Shavuos, to recommit ourselves and to think about what it is that we're doing to show the Ribono Shel Olam that we take this seriously and that we really want to be engaged in this venture together with Him. One of the most important works on Jewish philosophy was the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, written by the Ramchal in the 1700s, where he addresses this point and he writes as follows, number base. Amnam tzarech sheyeda ha'adam, a human being who lives on this world has to understand, ki lo lemenucha hu ba'olam hazeh, we were not placed here to just relax and to lounge around. Ela la'amal v'toreach, we were put here in order to work hard, in order to expend ourselves. V'lo yinag ba'atzmo ela minag ha'polim ha'osim alacha etzel maski rehem. A person who has a job, who's hired as an employee, understands that if they don't perform properly, God, the employer, will say, we'll find someone else, we will replace you. You're not helpful to our company. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, that has to be the perspective of every human being. I am like an employee of God Himself. God put me here and He understands that there are things I'm supposed to be doing. There's a mission I'm supposed to be accomplishing. And if I don't accomplish that mission properly and I choose to neglect all that He wants me to do, He'll just be like the employer and say, I'll find someone else. You're not being helpful to the cause. And says the Mesilas Yesharim, skip down. Ukederach yotzei hatzava b'marach hoseyem. We have to see ourselves as soldiers who are ready to go out to fight. Anyone who was here this Shabbos, we had a bunch of chayalim here for the Shabbaton of FIDF, and I was very inspired by one of the comments that was made by the Air Force pilot. Anybody else heard him speak? So I was very inspired. He said that the rule in the Air Force combat mission is, in the IDF, that you have to be prepared at any time of day or night, whether you're sleeping or awake, to be up in the air and on a mission in within 5 minutes. And I was amazed. You have to be willing to reorient yourself and to understand exactly what your mission is and to wake yourself up enough to be in the air and on the mission within 5 minutes. That's amazing. That's exactly what the Mesilas Yesharim writes. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, we have to think of ourselves, kederach yotzei hatzava b'marach hoseyem. We have to think of ourselves like soldiers who are ready to be on the mission and in the air and reoriented within 5 minutes. Asher achilasa mechipazon, they understand that they have to eat quickly on the run. Vishinasa marai, and even when they go to sleep, they know they can be woken at any time because who knows what the next mission might be. Ve'omdim tamid muchanim le'es karav, and they are always standing, waiting, and prepared to be totally engaged in whatever it is that they're going to be asked to do. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, that is what life is all about. That is what God wants of us. It doesn't mean we should be rigid people. Doesn't mean we should always walk around anxious. But it means you have to live a life with purpose. You have to live a life with meaning. And the Ribono Shel Olam wants all of us to live lives like that. And we all have the opportunity to do so, if only we just gave it a little bit of thought. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, that's what life is really meant to be all about. Making time every day for the study of Torah is so critical. It is so important. It is an imperative of life for every Jew. And you'll say, we're all busy and we're all doing a million other things. And I understand, we are all busy and we are all doing a million other things. But make 5 minutes for Torah a day, at least. Do something to show that you are committed to this cause, that you're interested in further understanding and deepening your connection with God. So yes, you'll laugh and you'll say, it's unrealistic. How can I do such a thing? It's not unrealistic. We waste more than 5 minutes doing much sillier things than opening it to Tehillim every day. And we surf the internet and we look at silly things that we don't have to look at and we read articles that don't help us be more productive human beings and we all watch the same WhatsApp clips that we're all getting and re-getting and getting over again. And we're all wasting time doing much sillier things on Facebook and everything else that we do. We can make 5 minutes a day to do something more meaningful to show that our connection with Torah is something that we take very seriously. Yes, if it means 5 minutes before we go to bed, we take out a Tehillim and we read five prakim of Tehillim, that's a meaningful experience. That's showing God that I'm serious and that I'm committed and that I really want to further my understanding of Him. Yes, it's something we can do. We spend time doing far worse things every day. I think it is not unreasonable to assume that we can make 5 minutes a day to show how serious we are about this. And the Bir Halacha, the Mishneh Berurah, writes in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Number Gimel. Ba'avonoseinu HaRabim. Kama anashim marpim yedeya min haTorah legamri. How many people out there completely overlook and completely neglect their obligation that they have to study Torah every day? Ve'enam choshishim lekvoa afilu zman muat b'yom leTorah. And they don't even set aside a limited number of minutes a day to study Torah. Give it a few minutes. We set aside time to do everything else, to exercise and to go to the gym and to go for our coffee. And we have a routine and we all do whatever it is that is on the routine, but nobody puts into their schedule that I need to make sure that I study Torah every day. Says the Mishneh Berurah, Vahasibahi, it's not because we're evil people. It's not because we don't care. Says the Mishneh Berurah, the reason is because Mipnei she'enam yodim godel hachiyuv sheyesh bazeh. It's simply because we don't fully appreciate the enormous obligation that we have to be engaged with the Torah. And therefore he continues, Ukvar amru chazal, he quotes a Gemara where we're told, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu alavon avodazara v'gile arayus u'shvichas damim. God was willing to ignore, God was willing to overlook, listen to what the Gemara says, God was willing to ignore those who violated the Avera of Avodah Zarah, of Gilui Arayos, of Shvichas Damim, the worst of the worst. We've all made mistakes. And mistakes are okay, God says. Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's willing to move on. He's willing to forgive. However, says the Gemara, Lo Viter Alavon Bittul Torah. God is not willing to overlook those who overlook the opportunity to study His Torah, who waste their entire day doing nothing and never giving time for the Ribono Shel Olam himself. That, says the Gemara, is something that's unforgivable. That's something that he will never overlook, because it is the obligation of every Jew to make sure that they carve out the time to do something to further their commitment to the Ribono Shel Olam's Torah. Look at the end of this paragraph, and he says, Ha'ish asher eino mezariz esatzma lekvoa lo itim latorah b'chol yom. A person who does not designate, who does not appropriate a time every day for the study of Torah, bivada yishaya reka mikol chas v'shalom, you will live a life of ignorance. You will live a life disconnected. You will live a life not knowing what it is that God expects of you. How can you know that? Umayana liyom hadin, and what will you say when God actually presses you on this question and asks you the difficult question? V'hachacham enav berosho. Says the Mishneh Berurah, somebody who is wise will think about this in advance. We'll think about this now when we have the opportunity to think about it. And we have the opportunity to do something about it. Says the Mishneh Berurah, that's what life is all about. Making priorities, about making time for the things that are important in our lives. And showing every day that there's something that we will never give up on. That we will make time every day, no matter what happens in our schedule, no matter how many other things we have to do, we will make even a limited amount of time every day to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how serious we are about our commitment to Him and our commitment to His Torah. I saw an amazingly beautiful insight yesterday by the great Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He was the founder of the Daf Yomi project, as we know it as well. And he writes the following, and the reason why I thought it was amazing is not just because it's a very simple point, but because I've read this story in Chumash so many times. And he makes an observation that I've never noticed and I never thought about, but once you hear it, it's just so obvious. So let me explain to you what he says. He turns us back to Parshas Vayeshev. In Parshas Vayeshev, we have the story of Yosef, who's sent to an Egyptian home to do some work. For some reason, they're unhappy with him, and they send him out to prison. Now he happens to be incarcerated in this jail there, in the dungeon, and all of a sudden he's met by two new inmates. Who comes to greet him there? The Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim. Listen carefully to the story as it's read in Chumash. Paro gets angry at Shnei Sarisav. Al Sar HaMashkim v'al Sar HaOfim, he gets angry at his butler and at his baker, and he's unhappy with them. V'yitin osam b'mishmar beis Sar HaTabachim al beis HaSohar. He detains them, he puts them into the jail. Makom asher Yosef ashur sham. He puts them in the same place where Yosef happens to be. Vayachamu chalom shneihem ish chalamo belayla echad. It just so happens to be, one night, the two of them have a dream, and they wake up in the morning, and as we all know, Yosef turns to them and he says, why do you look so disheveled? Why do you look so surprised? What happened to you? And they say, we had dreams last night, uposer ein oso. We don't know who can decipher the dream. We don't know who can interpret it. Who can explain this to us? Vayisaper sara mashkim es chalomo leYosef vayomer lo. Listen carefully to what he tells Yosef. The dreams are pretty similar, correct? Each of them sees three things, and we know that they indicate 3 days. But let's look carefully at what it says. He tells him, the butler says, Bachalomi, in my dream, Vihine gefen lefanai. And there was a vineyard. Uva gefen shlosha sarigim. And there were 3 vines that were emerging from the vineyard. Vihi kiparachas also nitsa, hivshilu eshkolea anavim. And they start to grow these beautiful grapes. Delicious. Ready to be harvested. Vikos parabiyadi. And there is me standing with the empty cup in my hand. And I see a beautiful vineyard with all of these delicious looking grapes. And I'm trying to figure out, what do I do now? And he says in the dream, Ve'ekach es ha'anavim, I see myself taking, harvesting these grapes. And after that, Ve'eschad osam al kos paro, I start to squeeze them into the cup of paro, and I process them, and I make it into wine. And then I serve paro the cup of wine, and everything's wonderful. Fine. Vayomer lo Yosef, Yosef responds and he says, I'll tell you what it means. Shloshes ha'sarigim, shloshes yamim. The 3 vines that were coming out of the vineyard obviously are a reference to the 3 days that are coming. Another 3 days, Paro will reevaluate your status. And Paro will once again reinstate you. He will restore you to your old position. And once again, you will have the opportunity to be the butler for the great king Paro. The same position that you had, the same capacity that you filled before you were sent to jail, that's what you're going to do again after this time. Vayar Sarah Ofim, as we know, the Sarah Ofim looks over his shoulder. He sees, wow, that sounds interesting. I may as well tell him my dream as well. And now he shares his story with him. Very similar story, but one major distinction between the storyline of the Sarah Mashkim and the storyline of the Sarah Ofim. Listen carefully. What happens to the Sarah Ofim? Behinei Shloshe Sale Chore Al Roshi. What does it mean? I have 3 baskets on my head. Uve Salha Al Yon, and in the top basket I have Mikol Machol Paro Maisa Ofa. I have positioned inside of that basket, I've placed on top all of the wonderful delicacies that Paro enjoys having. Veho'of Achalo Samin Asalme Al Roshi. And then a bird comes along and eats from it and starts pecking away at whatever is in my basket. And Yosef says, well, I'm sorry, I have some bad news for you. In another 3 days, Paro is going to reevaluate you, and then he's going to eliminate you. He's going to execute you. So Rav Meir Shapira says, that's the story as we read it in Chumash. But there's so much more to the story. What is the difference between story A of the Sarah Mashkim and story B of the Sarah Ofen? He says, if you listen carefully and you pay attention to the words of the Pasuk, we see that in the Sarah Mashkim's dream, he sees a vineyard, and he goes and he harvests, and he picks, and he processes, and he's working hard, and he's producing, and he's generating, and he's doing something actively to create the cup of wine for Paro. Says Rav Meir Shapir, when a person lives life like that, when all that you dream about is, what can I do, and how can I produce, and how can I process something, and how can I make, how can I actively be engaged, says Yosef, that means you're living. That's called life. That's what life is when a person is active. Adam la'amal yula, that's what we're here for. We're here to produce, we're here to work hard. But when you have a dream, and all you think about in life is the basket on my head, and things are just there, and everybody's going to come and just put everything in, and that's the way I'm going to go about life. My parents will provide for me, and my friends will take care of this, and my children will do that, and everyone else is going to take care of everything else aside from you. And my life is just going to be perfect. And everything's going to be wonderful. And I'll sit back and enjoy the wonderful majesty of my life. Says Rav Meir Shapira, that's called death. There's nothing about that life that is worth living. There's nothing about that life that is meaningful. And says Rav Meir Shapira, Yosef understood that when a person has a perspective like that, it is clear that that means death. When a person has a vision about producing, about moving, about being active, about doing something to produce something more than what was there before, Yosef understands on that person we know they're going to have life. Because that's really what life is. Like the Gemara says, Adam la'amal yula, that's what we're here for. We're here to invest of ourselves. We're here to work hard. And that really is what the study of Torah is all about. It's not easy. It's difficult. It's hard to master the art of really understanding Torah, of knowing what our mission is supposed to be, of knowing what God wants from all of us. But that's what life is for. We continue to move and we progress and we do things and we grow and we shrink and we do different things and we make mistakes and we sometimes make the right choices. But that's what life is. Life is a person who understands that you have to keep on being active, that you have to keep on growing and keep on moving and doing things differently and reevaluating, reassessing everything, and understanding that that's what God continuously wants from all of us in the decisions, in the experiences of the life that we live. I'm always very inspired and very moved whenever we talk about Talmud Torah. One cannot have this discussion without mentioning the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. And every time that I read it, it's just so uplifting to me, and it's so moving. So the Mishnah tells us as follows. Number Dalid. Reb Chalafta Ish Kvar Hananya Omer. Asara Sheyoshvim Ve'oskim HaTorah. When you have 10 people who are sitting around and studying Torah. Shechina Shruya Beinehem. You understand what that means? You know, we go to a shir, we go to a Tehillim group, we do things. Do you understand that when 10 people get together for the purpose of studying Torah, Shechina Shruya Beinehem, I just always feel it gives such a different feeling, such a different perspective to what it is that we try to do. So you have 10 people gathering together. It's not just haphazard. It's not just that we decided it's worthy of getting together. We are inviting the Ribbono Shel Olam to come and join us. And he accepts our invitation. It gives a different feel to the experience that we go through when we study Torah. Says the Mishnah, Minayin Afilu Chamisha. How do you know even when it's only 5 people getting together to study? How do you know that God goes out of his way to attend that experience as well? Says the Mishnah, we learn it from another pasuk. Minayin afilu shlosha. How do you know even when 3 people are together? Minayin afilu shnayim. How do you know 2 people are just learning, studying together? Uminayin afilu echad. How do you know even when one person, when one individual is sitting and engaging in the study of Torah, how do you know that God will be interested? How do you know that God will be attentive and responsive to that which you are doing at that time? Says the pasuk, Shene'emar b'chol hamakom asher azkir shemi. Any place where my name is mentioned, I will come and I will join and I will participate. I will respond. I will be a part of that experience. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, it is a havtacha. It is a promise. You can have one person studying Torah by themselves in a little corner before you go to bed at night. You say, Kapitel Tehillim. God is there with you. The Shechina is with you. I couldn't be more honored than that. Such a sublime experience. So elevating. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to take out of his busy schedule to come and study Torah with me. It's very moving. It's an amazing comment of the Mishnah. Well, asked the Binyan Sion, one of the great Gedolim in the 1800s. He was actually very well known for 2 of his students. One was Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer, who was a very great personality in Germany. And the other was Rabbi Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, was one of his disciples. He was a very famous person. So the Binyan Sion asks, what does this mean when we daven every day, V'sechazena inenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim? And we hope that we'll have the opportunity to see your Shechina rest once again in Yerushalayim. Don't we have the opportunity to have it now? The Mishnah says that when I study Torah, and when I have a group of people studying together, Shechina Shri B'Neim, the Shechina's here. So what am I davening for? The Shechina's here already. And suggests the Binyan Sion, and the same comment can be found in the Arachayim HaKadosh on Chumash, they write very simply. There are different degrees, different gradations of Shechina that you can have. It's not like a human being. You know, somebody asked me, did you attend this and this person's wedding? Did you go to this and this person's vart, to this person's bris, to this person's l'chaim? What's the answer? Either I was there or I wasn't there. You can't say, well, I was partially there. That doesn't make sense. For human beings, there's no such answer. Either you were there or you were not there. With the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a little bit different. With the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has the opportunity to be somewhere in different levels, in different gradations, with different potency. So the Mishnah says, when you have 10 people sitting and studying Torah together, there's a very strong presence of Shechina there. Obviously, the greatest presence of Shechina that we will ever have is when we have a Beis HaMikdash once again. We'll feel it. You ever go to the Kotel and you understand, you feel. There's more of a presence of Shechina there than there is in a shul. We all feel it. We all understand it. We're all drawn to it. And says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, it means that throughout life we all have experiences in which the presence of Shechina is more intense, is more extreme. And there are other times when it's a little bit less powerful in our lives. But this is what it means, that when you study Torah alone, understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with you as well. Might not be as powerful as the feeling of Shechina that will be there when we're all studying together, but the Shechina will be with you even when you're alone. When we look at the words of this Mishnah, there's an observation made by both the great Noam Elimelech, who was Rabbi Elimelech Milezhensk, one of the foremost Hasidic Rebbes, but also it's a comment that was made by the Nefesh HaChaim, by Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, who was one of the foremost Misnagdim. He was the student, the preeminent student of the Vilna Gaon. So that's how you know it's true. If both sides of the aisle said the same thing, you know that it has to be true. And listen how powerful the comment is. Look back at the last line in the Mishnah where we're told, one person who studies Torah by themselves, God will be present for that experience as well. How do you know, says the Pasuk, B'chol ha-makom asher azkir ha-shemi, avo elecho ve'erachticha. Anyone know Hebrew, diktuk, grammar? What's wrong with that Pasuk? What should it say? B'chol ha-makom, in any place, asher, tazkir, anywhere that you will mention my name, I will respond, I will react, and I will join into your study. What does it mean, b'chol ha-makom asher azkir, anywhere where I will mention? How do we understand that word? This is the observation made both by the Noam Elimelech as well as the Nefesh HaChaim. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, such a powerful, such an enlightening idea that he takes from this one word in the Pasuk. V'lo od ela, ki gam be'oso ha'esha ademosik b'Torah lamata. When a person is engaged in the study of Torah here on this earth, not only do we assume that the Shechina goes out of its way to join you, not only do we assume that the Shechina is present when we have people studying Torah together, but simultaneously and accompanying every word of Torah that you study, kol teva shemotzi mipiv, every word that you say from your mouth, hein hein hadvarim hayotzim kavayachol gam mipiv yizbarach. Internalize what that means. God says the words along with you. So inspiring. God is not only willing to join me in this venture, but God is willing to say the words along with me. How do we know that that is true? Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, we have a proof from the Gemara in Maseches Gittin. We won't read it inside. The Gemara says, there was a story in Navi about Pilegesh Begiva. Very unusual story. The Navi talks about it in great descriptive detail. And the Amoraim had a discussion about one detail of the story, exactly what took place. Was it X or was it Y? Something, a discussion that's not for now. So the Gemara tells us that there was a dispute between Evyasar and Yonasan. The two of them had a discussion about how to interpret the pasuk in the story of Pilegesh Begiva. And they're having a whole disagreement in the Beis Medrash. Just so happens to be, somebody steps out of the room, walks down the street to go get himself a coffee, and he bumps into Eliyahu HaNavi. So he's very excited. He sees Eliyahu HaNavi on the street, and he says, I'm not going to waste the opportunity. Eliyahu, you mind, you have a few minutes for me? He says, yes. He says, do you mind if I ask you a question? Ma avid kud shabrichu? Can you give me maybe some inside information? What's going on upstairs? Like, what's God busy with right now? I'd like to know what he's doing. Interesting question. I would have had other questions for Eliyahu HaNavi. But that was the question he chose to ask him. Eliyahu HaNavi says, he's actually learning Torah. So he turns to him, he says, how interesting. We're also learning Torah. What does God happen to be studying right now? So Leo says he happens to be talking about the story of Pilegesh Begiva. Wow, that's amazing. He says to Leo, that's so interesting. I was just inside the building. We were also talking about Pilegesh Begiva. So maybe you can tell me, what exactly is God saying right now? Because there's something about the story that we don't fully understand. So I'd like to know, if God was just studying it upstairs, maybe he can share with us his insights in the story and we'll have a better understanding. Eliyahu Navi says, I'll tell you exactly what he's saying. God is sitting upstairs and he's saying, Avyasar Bani, my beautiful child, Avyasar, says the story means this. And my lovely child, Yonasan, disagrees and he says it means that. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that's what God's busy doing? He's busy repeating the discussion that we're having down here, the disagreement about how to interpret a pasuk? Yes. Because that's what happens every time you study Torah. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi told them at that time, on that occasion. It's exactly what God was doing. The same thing they were studying inside is what God was studying up in heaven, in his abode. And if that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what can. If that's not a good enough reason to take time every day and find the opportunity to study Torah just for a few minutes, because God will study along with you. And you have an insight and you have an interpretation and you have something that moves you and you have something that's interesting to you, understand that God will be saying the words along with you. V'chal ha'makom asher azkir es shemi. I will say the words as you are saying the same words down below. So the Chafetz Chaim, I want to learn through two different passages of the Chafetz Chaim. And I think they give a very fresh perspective. I think they give a very beautiful understanding to what it is to study Torah in this world. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, number one, in his Sefer on Chumash, Kama mu'ushar chayev adam lihios. How satisfied, how gratified and fulfilled a person needs to feel. V'kama shafar alav chelko ba'olam hazeh. How fortunate and blessed one should feel in this world. Shenitna biyado hayecholez lehidavik bo yisbarach kan ba'olam hazeh. That we have the opportunity to unite and to connect and associate ourselves with the Ribono Shel Olam in this world. Yachol ha'adam lios davik b'Hashem elekro lo b'chol eis sheyirtze. We have the opportunity to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam whenever we want. You ever think about that? Whenever we want. So, is davening a priority for all of us? I don't know. Some people are very busy with very important things. They don't have a chance to daven. But for those of us who might have time and who don't understand what it means to daven, for those of us who might have some time and who don't understand what it means to spend 5 minutes learning Torah every day, the Chafetz Chaim explains, that's your opportunity to connect and to communicate with the Ribono Shel Olam whenever you want. B'chol eis sheyirtze. You know, I remember a number of months ago, Camp Simcha sent a whole delegation to the White House with a bunch of counselors and campers. They were invited to go bowling with the Trumps. I don't know what it was all about. So a couple of days before, one of the counselors who was going sends an email to a bunch of rabbis asking, I'm going to have the chance to meet the president. What should I tell him? I'm thinking to myself, you're a wonderful person. But I don't think you realize this guy doesn't care what you have to say. Not because of him. It's just he's the president of the United States. He's not interested in what the counselor of the Camp Simcha kid is going to tell him. You can write to every rabbi in the world. He's not going to tell you anything that the president would be interested in hearing. And I thought it was amazing how he was really like, his wheels were turning, spinning in his head, trying to figure out for a few days, like, what is he going to say? Like, which profound comment is he going to come up with to tell the president of how to help lead this country? And I was thinking about it. It's an opportunity. Why is he excited about it? Because it's an opportunity that a person gets once in a lifetime. But says the Chafetz Chaim, this is an opportunity that a person gets b'chol eis sheyirtze, whenever you want. You have the opportunity to connect and to communicate with the Ribono Shel Olam whenever you want. Ki karov Hashem l'chol karov. Because the Ribono Shel Olam assures us that anyone who calls out to him with sincerity will be responded to. V'alzeh ne'emar, and it says as well, Dirshu Hashem bihi matz'o, kelomar, we should try our best to seek out the presence of the Shechina, the presence of God, when he is easily found. Kelomar, it means, ba'olam hazeh hu matzui lakol. In our world, in our experience, God is so accessible, God is so available. And this is so counterintuitive, because sometimes we think to ourselves, in the Olam HaEmes, everyone is spending time in such close proximity to God, but here, where are we? here in New York, what are we doing here? How close are we? Says the Chafetz Chaim, you have it all wrong. You have it all backwards. Here is the opportunity that you have to be making God available and accessible to you whenever you want. And it's an opportunity you will not have in the Olam HaEmes. It's an opportunity that will be taken away from us. And he says, Ukamo kein uftach lanu, like the Mishnah that we just learned, v'chala makom asher azkir eshemi avo elechu ve'rachticha. Zechus zeh, says the Chafetz Chaim, this incredible privilege, it is only available to us while we are here. However, he says, when we come to that time of Olam HaEmes and we think that that's the place where we're really going to have the opportunity for a rendezvous with God, says the Chafetz Chaim, mistake. That's a huge mistake. Mechitzas rabos mafridos beino lebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There will be so many barriers, so many obstacles, so many blockades that will be in the way and will divide us and separate us from having a connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. Take advantage, says the Chafetz Chaim. Understand that you can extract from the experiences of this world, from every time that you have the chance to study a word of Torah, you are inviting the Ribono Shel Olam into your life and you are speaking to him at your own convenience. It's a privilege you will not have in the afterlife.
Why?
We'll see in a minute why. It's a good question. Shouldn't laugh at it. It's a good question. What?
You're not going to have
mitzvahs. Exactly. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the only one occasion that you're going to have to be really close to God is when he calls you and he says, you know, let's have a little discussion. I'd like to talk to you about different things that happened during your life. And then he says, you're going to shy away and say, I can do without this conversation. And you're going to be frightened. Why wouldn't we take advantage, says the Chafetz Chaim? We all have the opportunity. We all have the experience here as much as we choose to have it. So, you know, the Chafetz Chaim is very well known. You can turn over to the other side. Chafetz Chaim is very well known for his Sefer Mishneh Berurah, which is a very monumental work on Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. Chafetz Chaim is also very well known for his Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, where he galvanized members of his generation to make sure that they were careful about the way they speak. Chafetz Chaim was famous for many things, but when I grew up, I never knew that the Chafetz Chaim was also famous for being a person who thought of incredible mishalim. And ever since I started learning the Mishalim of the Chafetz Chaim, I always found that they're so on point and they're so relevant. So here's a mashal from the Chafetz Chaim from another one of his svarim. I remember the first mashal that I ever heard from the Chafetz Chaim was I was 19 years old. Rav Asher Weiss told me once on one occasion, I don't know why, he told me a story about the Chafetz Chaim and I was very taken by it. And I said, this man is such a genius. How does he know a story from the Chafetz Chaim? And then I got a little older. I realized there's plenty of stories that the Chafetz Chaim wrote, and all over, strewn about throughout his Svarim, he has such beautiful Mishalim, and so powerful. I remember the Mashal at that time was, he said that the Chafetz Chaim was once traveling, and he realized it was almost time for Mincha, so he stops into a local shtibel in a community, and it happened to be a bunch of Alexander Hasidim. I don't know where they stem from, I don't know where they come from, but he walks into the shtibel. Obviously the Chafetz Chaim used to daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and the Hasidim daven Nusach Svard. And he walks in and he says to them, it happens to be Erev Chodesh. And the communities in Lita, the Chafetz Chaim said, usually have the practice that on Erev Chodesh we say Slichos during Mincha because we refer to it as Yom Kippur Katan. There's something auspicious, there's something unusual, something special about Erev Chodesh every month where you can have a Kapara Savona, some sort of mini Yom Kippur, something like that. So the Chafetz Chaim said, look, it's Erev Chodesh, we should all get together, we should say Slichos, we should have a Mincha. So the Alexander Hasidim said, no, our Rebbe doesn't do that. Whenever our Rebbe is here, the Alexander Rebbe never says Slichos and Erev Chodesh, so therefore we're not going to do it either. So the Chafetz Chaim responded to them on the spot. Listen to this amazing response. He says, you know, you remind me of two people who once got on a train together. One turns to the other, he says, what's your name? What's your name? They start talking to each other. Where are you going? He says, I'm traveling to Warsaw. And where are you going? I'm also going to Warsaw. Oh, how nice. How long does it take to get to Warsaw? About 3 or 5 days, something like that. Oh well, so we'll have a lot of time to get to know each other. We'll have a lot of time to talk. About 3 hours later, the train gets to the first stop, and one guy gets up, he says, very nice to meet you, walks off the train. So his friend screams out to him, he says, this is not Warsaw. We have another few days to go. He says, no, you don't understand. It's true, I need to get to Warsaw. My problem is, I don't have enough money to buy a ticket from here to get all the way to Warsaw. So I figured I'll just take a few pennies, a few rubles, whatever it was. I'll pay enough money just to get myself to the next stop. Once I get there, I'll start pedaling around in the train station. I'll ask for a few more pennies. I'll get myself to the next stop. And ultimately, in another couple of months, I'll finally get myself to Warsaw. Said the Chafetz Chaim, the Alexander Rebbe is such a big tzaddik. He can go all the way in one stop from the beginning all the way to Warsaw. He can get from one Yom Kippur to the next Yom Kippur without any need for kapara, for mechila in the middle of the year. He's fine. He's a tzaddik. He lives his whole life, doesn't do any averis. He can go a whole year. He's fine. He said, but for those of us like me, the Chafetz Chaim said, who are such horrible rishayim, right? So we need the stops along the way. You know, we need a few pennies along the way that God should throw us a bone, that God should give us a mechila along the way, because if we just wait until Yom Kippur to take care of all of it, it's just going to be too expensive. We won't be able to pay for it. That's the Chafetz Chaim. He had such a creative mind, such a beautiful way of expressing different ideas. So here the Chafetz Chaim talks about this idea as well. And he gives a mashal. And he writes the following, Klal hadvarim be'oda ba'olam hazeh, he says, the rule is, while a person is in this world, yachal hamshich kvod Hashem yizbarach etzlo, you have the ability, so to speak, to lure God into your life. You have the ability to draw Him in. U'kemoshe amar akosev, like we just said from the Mishnah, v'chal ha'makom asher azkira shmi avo elecha uverachticha. Let's say God wasn't interested in spending time with you today. This is an easy answer. Let's say He didn't have time for the meeting with you. Well, I have the ability to get Him. I have the ability to lure Him in, says the Chafetz Chaim. It's very simple. All I have to do is engage in the study of Torah. And I have God in my house. And I have God at my table. I have God in my bedroom. I have God in my everything that I'm doing. I'm able to have Him with me because I have the ability to draw Him in. Ma she'ein ken kishayava la'olam ha'elyon. Sham ein lo rishus la'olam l'chol zeh. Lo l'limit ha'torah v'lo l'kiyam ha'mitzvos. In the afterlife, there is no chance any longer to serve God. Lo l'daber im Hashem u'levakesh milafanav al nafsho. It's too late at that point to ask God for anything. Kamo she'amru Chazal, like Chazal tell us, somebody who prepares on Erev Shabbos will be ready for Shabbos. Somebody who cleans the house on Erev Shabbos and who makes sure that the food is all prepared will have what to eat on Shabbos. But somebody who doesn't, says the Gemara, will go hungry and will not have a good experience of Shabbos. This whole world is like Erev Shabbos for us. We prepare and we do everything we can to get close to the Ribono Shel Olam. But whatever relationship we developed with Him is where we're going to be. That's what it is. Take advantage, says the Chafetz Chaim. Take advantage while we all have the opportunity to do so. Look at the next paragraph. V'amarti al zeh mashal nichbad. He said, I thought of a parable to explain this. Ish echad balachsanya haisa alav malshinos gedola. There was an innkeeper who had terrible threats that were being put against him. V'amal ma'od lahotzi mishpato la'oro. And he tried very hard to prove himself to be innocent. And he hired the top lawyers, and he got everybody involved, and he spoke to every politician, and nothing seemed to be working. And he realized that if he doesn't do something, he might end up the rest of his life in jail, or perhaps his life might be taken away. Ulashav halaya amalo. Every attempt that he tried to involve himself in was unsuccessful. Everything was ineffective. V'haya yedei zeh b'sakana gedola. He realizes, I'm in a tremendous crisis. I'm in a danger. V'amr lo, all of his friends tell him, look, you have nothing more to do except the only option we can give you is sheyavu lefnei ha-melech ba'atzmo. You got to figure out how to get a meeting with the president himself, with the king himself. He's the only one who can pardon you. He's the only one that can grant you a clemency, that can get you off the hook. He's the only one that can get you out of this problem. Otherwise, there's nothing else. V'yishtateach lefanav. You will go and prostrate yourself in front of him and you will cry to him. Ki hu ish chesed v'rachaman miod. The king is known to be a very kind person. And if you get an audience with him, I'm sure he will allow you to be pardoned. Next paragraph. Vayhi vayamim ahem hayaminhag. It happened to be, in those days, it was the common practice. Shamelachim hayu malbishim atzman bimalbushim pshutim kishara'am. That the king every so often would dress up as an ordinary person, and he would obscure his identity. He would hide himself. And he didn't want that people should know who he was, and he would go traveling around to the simpletons, and he would stay in an inn there, and he would try and hear in the local bar, in the local streets, he would go to the local shuls, he would try to hear what people were saying in order that he can better understand them, in order that he can better relate to everything that was going on. So the king chooses to go out, he doesn't inform anybody, and it happens to be he stays in the inn of this man. He's there for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and then he leaves. And a few weeks later, people get word of the fact that that was the king. And they're shocked. But aside from being shocked, this man falls into such a deep depression and he starts to scream. Can you believe it? The only option that I had to save my life was to have a meeting with the king. And he was in my house. And I didn't even realize. And I didn't take advantage of my opportunity. I saw him every day. I served him breakfast. I gave him dinner every night. I walked him around the town. I gave him everything. I didn't even realize who this person was. And he says, what do I do now? Now I'm going to go knock on the door of the palace? That's not going to work. I know that he has soldiers that are lining up his palace. I know there's no way that you can break through the fences there. I know there's no way I can get in. And now I'm stuck. Next paragraph. Va'nimshalu kipshuto. Hamelech zehu melech malchei amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're referring to God himself. Be'esha adam hu ba'olam hazeh hu matzei lefnei Hashem tamid. When we are here, God stays in our home all the time. We have the ability, like we said, to lure him into the experiences of our lives as much as we choose to have him in there. Va'afilu im ives v'kilkel. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect. We all do averos. We all make mistakes. We all speak lashon hara, I assume. I do. I don't know, all of you don't. But we all do things wrong. And we all do things that we shouldn't do. However, you still have the opportunity throughout life to invite God into the experiences of your life. Va'akadosh Baruch Hu karov lo, and God will feel close to you. Aval ha'adam mis'atzel bazeh yom yom. But we are inattentive. We are distracted. We are indifferent. We don't fully appreciate this opportunity that we have. Ad she'nifter uba la'ol lidei ha'cheshbon. V'sham yimatzei ha'pinkas pasuach. And God looks through the course of our lives. And we realize, I'm in great danger. What do I do now? And I can hire every lawyer and every person and every politician and speak to every tzaddik, and none of it is going to help. Nothing. And we say to ourselves, how could it be that I missed out on all those opportunities that I had in this world? Every moment that I had the chance to bring God and invite him back into the recesses of my being, into my life, how did I give up on such incredible opportunities, such an extraordinary life that I could have lived, and I chose not to? But then it's too late. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the Melech has already went back to his palace. He's no longer staying in your home. The circumstances have changed. And now you don't have that ability any longer. Look at the next paragraph. V'hineh. Miderech ha'olam kishatzarach lisa l'merachok. When you have somebody who knows they're going somewhere and they're not sure if they will ever come back. You have a soldier who's called up to duty. Happens in Israel all the time. He never knows. He's part of a dangerous mission. He never knows, unfortunately, if he's going to come back alive. Is he actually going to see his wife and his children? Is he ever going to see his parents again? Imagine the IDF calls him up and says, we need you here in 5 days to do this and this mission. You're going into a dangerous place. We need you to arrest these terrorists, these suspects, and who knows what's going to happen. Maybe it's going to be booby-trapped. Maybe he'll never come out alive. Maybe he'll be abducted. Imagine what those 5 days are like. He spends every moment that he can appreciating everything about his family, appreciating everything that he loves so much, everything that he worked so hard to build and to create in his life. Because he knows that this might be the last opportunity to appreciate it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you have a person who finds out, the doctors tell them, you have 3 more months left to live. You know, I thought about it a lot. I have a friend, Ephraim Goldberg, in Florida. And there was a few months ago, in Hawaii, a mistake that was sent out. Right? So what did it say? What was the mistake? What? They announced that there was going to be some horrific tragedy there. And after like 5 or 10 minutes or something, it was corrected. But for 5 minutes, everyone was hysterical. And my friend in Florida wrote an article at the time. He's a very prominent rabbi there in Boca Raton Synagogue. And I was very taken by his article. He wrote an article, if you found out you had 5 minutes left to live, how would you spend the 5 minutes? Let's say you got a mistaken text one day where you were told everything in your life is about to implode and be destroyed and that's going to be the end of you. Well, how would you spend those last 5 minutes? What would you do? On Twitter, on Facebook, doing all the silly things that we all do every day? Says the Chafetz Chaim, here's our opportunity. Here's our chance. Here's what life is all about. Adam la'amel yulad. We were all born into this world with a purpose, with a mission. And God has told us from the outset, you're not going to be here forever. Like my father always told us growing up, the cemetery is full of all the indispensable people. Right? This is what it is. We're not here forever. We're all here to do something, to accomplish, and to make life meaningful. The Sahara Mashkim teaches us that if you want to understand what life is, if you want to understand how we know that a person is actually living, it's when you see something and you understand that you need to do something active to produce more. And you need to do something to enhance the life that you already are living. But if not, Ein Zechayim, says Rameir Shapiro. That's not a life at all. It's not a life of meaning. It's not a life of purpose. And says the Chafetz Chaim, we are all given this opportunity. We are all availed this chance every day of our lives. Bechol eis sheyirtzeh. Whenever you choose to invite God into the recesses of your heart, into your life, into your home, into everything that you do, you have the opportunity to do so. And that is an opportunity that will not be around forever. Says the Chafetz Chaim, take advantage. Understand that every time you learn Torah, God joins you and He's with you and He's interested and He's attentive and He responds. And that's something we all have the choice to make every day of our lives. So as we come to Chag HaShavuos and we once again remind ourselves of what it means to be committed to Torah, what it means to be serious about our commitment to the Ribono Shel Olam and to His Torah, we remind ourselves that this is not just an obligation that we have, this is not just a duty that every Jewish person has upon themselves, but it's also an unbelievable opportunity. This shouldn't scare anyone. I hope that today was meaningful and not scary. It's not frightening. It gives us a mission, it gives us a purpose, and it realigns our priorities once again. So often we lose sight of what it is that we can do throughout life and how much we can accomplish. And the Chafetz Chaim teaches us that it's up to us to make that decision and to make the proper choice. And to invite the Ribono Shel Olam into every single aspect of our lives as much as we choose for Him to be a part of it. So again, Amir